As hard as it is to accept the fact that you stutter, you absolutely have to. Stuttering becomes the norm, and fluent speaking just seems wrong. You can stutter and be successful.
Fluent speaking just seems wrong with Courtney Luckman today on Stutter Talk. Hey everyone, this is Stutter Talk, changing how you think about stuttering one podcast at a time. Starting the show off with some good voluntary stuttering. This will be episode 347, recorded at around 4 p.m. Friday, July 6, 2012. We're going to post a show probably July 7th, Saturday morning, and I am your host, Peter Reitzes, here with return guest, return all-star, Courtney Luckman. How are you, Courtney?
I am doing great.
Courtney Luckman is attending the National Stuttering Association's annual conference, or 29th conference, right now in St. Petersburg, Florida. And Courtney, this is your first time. How's the experience been?
Yes, it has been truly amazing, and it's not even what I expected it to be. It's so much more, and I'm just having the best time, and I've had great experiences, and I've met so many people. I've probably met more people in the past 2 days than I've met in my whole life.
Wow. That is so awesome. And I just want to remind everybody that Courtney Luckman is a person who stutters, a student at the University of Virginia, and recently started her own local National Stuttering Association chapter in Virginia. Courtney, there are so many questions I want to ask you, so you can take this anywhere you want. Can you share with us a flavor of something that you've experienced at the conference?
Well, this is actually going to sound, this is a bit ironic that I would mention this and not something that has to do with the workshops, but one of the best experiences here has been what's been happening outside of the workshops, like going to lunch, like going out to a bar, and it's just been amazing to have an instant group of friends. And I, like, the people that I met when I came here, it seemed like we had been friends for years. It didn't seem like I had just met them, and it's an instant bond. And just going out, with 20 or 30 people, stutterers, to a bar, and, it's just carefree talking. And just last night, a few of the NSA members had a comedy show at the local bar here, and it was all stuttering jokes, and it was just so funny. And it was a good experience to be shared with so many stutterers.
That's really cool. I've heard a lot of good things about that. And that was Nina Giselli and Jody Fuller and maybe a few other comments. Wow. Mm-hmm. And, what you're saying makes total, complete sense. I mean, I personally have been to conferences where I've barely entered a workshop room. Just because there's so much fun to be had just hanging out. Give the listeners a flavor or a taste here. When you go out to a bar or a restaurant with 10, 20, 30 stutterers and everybody's stuttering, what does that feel like?
It feels great. I mean, it's, I, I sometimes feel bad for the bartender or the waiter, just because, you know, they're waiting on so many stutterers, and it's just, you know, stuttering becomes the norm, and fluent speaking just seems wrong, and it's, you know, and it's interesting, and like, and I have felt like I have never run out of things to talk about with the fellow stutterers, and there's always someone to talk to, and it seems like the conversations never end, and it's so great, and yeah, just like last night, the whole bar experience was amazing because we did karaoke and everyone was fluent when they were singing, you know, and it was just so interesting.
And you've given me already this early in the conversation the title for this episode, Fluent Speaking Just Seems Wrong. Or maybe you said just seems so wrong. It's
just seems so wrong. It does.
So this is your first time attending the conference, and I know that leading up to the conference, you've been really excited to get involved more and more with being open about stuttering and with the stuttering community and outreach. Has the conference met your expectations? Has it exceeded it?
It has exceeded it by a lot. It has exceeded my expectations. And you know what? I came into this with a open mind, and I didn't really know what to expect. And I just thought it would be a lot of workshops and just learning more about stuttering, but it happened to be, you know, just so refreshing to hear so many people's stories that are so similar to mine, and so much good advice, you know, from people who have been coming here for years. And, you know, I've been actually keeping a journal, and I just have pages and pages of notes, just people's feedback, people's stories, new ideas to think about.
So this is Stutter Talk. Peter Reitzis with return guest Courtney Luckman, first timer at the National Stuttering Association. The NSA conference is going on right now, if you're hearing this by July 7th. So if you want to check out more about the conference, go to westutter.org. That's the website of the National Stuttering Association. Courtney, I would love it if you could open to any page and just read some of your notes. Like, what are some of the things that people have been saying to you?
Yeah. Well, actually, just this morning, I have attended a career workshop. It was called Following Your Career Dreams, and it was a panel of all young people that stutter and that were in professional jobs and have to deal with stuttering in the workplace. And some of the things they did was say, you know, just by advertising and by letting your employers know that you stutter, it makes the job so much easier, and to not have to think about your stuttering, but to think about really like your job, you know, and to not be so focused on your speech. And they said that if your employer hires you and knows that you stutter because you advertise, they obviously trust you to do the job. And they have faith that even with your stutter, you are capable of doing this job. And one thing I found interesting is that you can still be a great public speaker even if you stutter. And all these workshops are run by stutterers, and they have to stand up there for an hour and 15 minutes and talk. And it's been, you know, and I see in that that there is hope that stutterers can be great public speakers. And just because you stutter does not mean you are not a good communicator. And some people have given talks in their workplace about stuttering, and it's up to you to educate the people in your work and let them know, and you know, to advertise in a fun way that, you know, you don't always have to advertise in a very serious, sad tone. You know, you can join humor and stuttering, you know, to make it more entertaining for your listener.
Well, sounds like you have been shot out of a stuttering cannon. I'm feeling your excitement. That's really awesome. And I have to say, Stutter Talk, we're very fortunate because we have you back on the show, and we've had a few of those panelists on in the last couple of days.
Oh, really?
I just spoke to Samantha Janusa. Was she on that panel?
Yeah.
And
she was on that panel.
Ruben Schuff?
Yeah, he was the lead of the panel.
And so he was just on Stutter Talk yesterday, and Roisin McManus?
Yeah. I met Karen and Roisin, yeah.
They are well respected and liked people and Stutter Talk hosts.
I know.
So okay, I've got so many questions to ask you, so brace yourself. Okay, so here's the panel. They're talking about the importance of advertising and getting your stuttering out there. Is that something you knew going in? Is that something that you knew it, but hearing people say it really drove it in or hit it home? Like, what did that mean to you?
Well, I mean, I was very familiar with advertising just from going to SSMP. So I don't think I learned so much about advertising as I just learned that you can stutter and be successful. And it just really inspired me by seeing all these young people in the workplace and they're happy and they're succeeding and they're doing what they love and they're not letting their stuttering hold them back.
That, yes, you can stutter and be successful. So I know you've been enjoying the nightlife and the time with friends, but you've also attended a lot of workshops. Can you share with us one of your notes from a workshop?
Yeah. Yesterday I went to one called Stuttering in the Era of Google+. And, you know, I chose to go to that one because I'm a big social media person and I like Facebook, and I found that Facebook has been a really good way to meet other stutterers. And so the guy who presented the workshop listed six lessons that he just wanted to tell stutterers. And I found them really inspiring. And the first one is you're not alone. Second, stuttering is beautiful. Third, the world is listening. Four, people really care. Five, there is more in you than you know. Six, life happens.
Wow, those are really great. I mean, starting out with the classic, you're not alone. I mean, you feel that, at least I feel that the second I walk into a stuttering conference.
And so he was talking about how all of this new technology and this social media is truly amazing to have for stutterers, and there's just so many things out there now that weren't out there before, and that's changing our stuttering and just how, like, all the new research and the hardware and the software, and just that we are all better connected now, whereas in the past, I'm sure if people attended an NSA conference and then upon leaving, you know, how do you stay connected to all the great people that you met here? And now you can do that. And with the invent of Stutter Social too, you can basically see them every day if you want, because it's a video chat. And
we had one of the Stutter Social guys on Stutter Talk. The B Team did a show with them about Stutter Social. So can you explain to the listeners who didn't hear that show what Stutter Social is?
You know, we didn't go into too much detail, but I believe it is it's a place that has, I think they have 3 chats a week, and they're video chats with stutterers, and it's just a place to meet other stutterers and to, you know, have a safe environment to talk. And it's, you know, like replicating the conference.
Yeah, it's like an online stuttering meeting.
Right.
Yeah. Now, it's funny because, not funny, but when I was in my very early 20s was when the internet first hit. And I was in such a bad place with stuttering that it would have never occurred to me to go to a search engine. It wasn't even Google then. It was something before Google. I think it was Alta Vista. And it wouldn't even occur to me to go and punch in stuttering or stuttering help. So I have to wonder, like, now with the internet being such a seamless part of our lives, if people who stutter, if there's still many, many, many people out there who wouldn't even dare type the word stuttering into a search engine.
Yeah. And someone in the audience of that workshop asked the question of, you know, is it almost bad for the stutterer to have all these new forms of communication, texting, email that are non-verbal? And, you know, I see that point, but I see it as that the texting and the emailing is furthering your communication with stutterers, and you're probably planning something to talk face to face or to have a phone chat, you know. And so I don't think that all of this new forms of communication are a block, you know, from using face-to-face.
I worked with a young girl, maybe 12 years old, a few years ago, and she got a cell phone. And I said to her, but you don't like talking on the phone. And she said, oh, I know. I'm just going to use it for texting so I don't have to talk on the phone. And, you know, I have mixed feelings about it, but at the end of the day, you know, she's going to make her own decisions regarding talking and stuttering.
Yeah. That is true. I mean, and I have often been tempted to text people about plans when I should just be calling them, because it's easier to text, you know, but you have to force yourself to not take the easy way out.
Well, I cannot give statistics or facts, but I was listening to a public radio program recently, and one of the guests was saying that something like the average phone call now is well under a minute long. So I'm not sure how much talking on the phones is going on. Anyway, this is Stutter Talk. Peter writes us here with special guest Courtney Luckman. Courtney, have you heard anything at the conference that you've said to yourself, I don't agree with that, or that's not how I would handle stuttering?
You know, I haven't really. I mean, I'm pretty open to a lot of different types of therapies and different ways that people have managed their stuttering. But actually, today I was in a advertising workshop, and someone in the back, after I think this was about 30 minutes into the workshop, asked, I don't understand why you have to advertise. I never advertise. And I was just like, my jaw dropped, because how could you not understand the power of advertising? I mean, that's one of the things that got me to where I am now, and that completely changed my life.
Yeah, I just before speaking with you, I spoke with Samantha Januso about her Fearless Stuttering Workshop, and my guess is she would probably agree with you. But, you know, I personally spent my first 22 years or so not advertising and doing everything I could to avoid stuttering. So
right.
I sort of get it, but, it's easy to understand if you understand it, and if you're not there yet. And just so I don't come across as patronizing, you know, it's easy for me to say, like, some people, you know, think they don't need to be there. They don't need to get that. That's not for them. And, now I'm babbling.
Please. One thing in that workshop that really stood out to me today was, one man spoke about, you know, how important it is to advertise, because if you're constantly changing words and substituting easier words because you can't say certain words, or you feel you say you can't, you feel as if you can't say certain words, then if you're, for instance, in a job interview, if you substitute easier words, you might not come across to the interviewer as someone who is smart, or you may not say the words that they're looking for to accurately describe yourself. And so by not advertising, it could actually hurt you and make your speech less professional, and you may not get hired just because you substituted words and didn't really say what you wanted to say.
Let me share with you my experience about why I got voluntary stuttering and advertising, and I always saw them as linked, at least for me. And then I'm going to ask you how you got there. But for me, I had spent so many years avoiding stuttering, trying to pass as fluent or passing as fluent, that I just reached the point where I couldn't do it anymore, where I was so miserable in life avoiding stuttering that I just had to be a stutterer. So for me, it was like, well, if I have to be a stutterer and I'm so scared of stuttering, I need to stutter and I need to tell people I stutter. So when I worked with a speech pathologist, a speech language pathologist, and they said to me, well, why don't you stutter on purpose? Let's try telling people you stutter. It made sense. What was it for you that made advertising and voluntary stuttering make sense? Like, how did you get there?
I personally cannot see how it doesn't make sense, because I see that as something that's ideal, and that I knew that I should have been doing it when I was younger, but I just couldn't. And what got me there was just avoiding and not talking and people just thought I was shy, and I hid my stuttering for so long, where the only person that I could talk to about it was my mom. And I was just so tired of having all this fear and all of my personality bottled up inside, and I just couldn't take it anymore. And you know, as hard as it is to accept the fact that you stutter, you absolutely have to.
So if you go back to, I mean, imagine talking to your 13-year-old self, and I'm going to do the same thing. Imagine trying to convince your 13-year-old self that they should go to school and stutter openly, or your 15-year-old self, and that they should advertise and tell other people they stutter. Do you think, knowing yourself now, your persuasion skills, and knowing yourself at 13 or 15, do you think you'd be able to convince your younger self that that would be the way to go?
Actually, I was just having this conversation with someone else earlier.
No way, really?
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. All right.
About timing, and about, you know, why I went to the SSMP last summer and not earlier.
That's the successful stuttering management program. I just wanted to, for listeners who don't know.
Mm-hmm. So I believe that these are, you know, there are tons of treatments and tips and advice that you can get, but if you're not ready to change, then you can't. Then all those treatments and those tips just don't work. And I was not ready. I didn't really know what to do, and I just felt safe keeping it all inside and just talking when I had to, and passing as a shy person, which I've come to realize I am not. And I was okay with that. I was okay on the outside. I was suffering on the inside. So I feel like it's all about timing. And when I was 13, you know, I didn't, to be honest, I still had in my mind that at some point my stuttering will just go away. So I'll just deal with it now and just suck it up.
Wow. Have I heard that a lot? Just growing up expecting that the stuttering would just go away, would take care of itself.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I don't know how successful I would have been trying to convince my 15-year-old self to stutter openly. I just, wow, that would have been really a hard task. It was hard enough to be 22 or so and decide to make changes.
Mm-hmm.
So listeners, we want to hear from you. Leave your thoughts, comments, questions at the Stutter Talk podcast Facebook page, or shoot us an email, stuttertalk@stuttertalk.com. Courtney Luckman, you've been so generous with your time. It is 4:24, so I know that conference time, that's the time where most people are getting dressed and ready to go out for a night of fun with their new stuttering friends. So let me just ask you one last question.
No problem.
What is the one thing that hasn't happened yet at the conference, the one workshop or presentation or gathering that you're really looking forward to?
Ooh, that's hard. I'm looking forward to a lot, but I'm kind of looking forward to Saturday night. There's a whole celebration. It's called the closing ceremonies, and there's a big dinner and dancing, and I'm just excited to just see everyone one last time and hopefully reunite with them again next year.
Well, we hope to reunite with you before then, so you are welcome back on Stutter Talk anytime. We love having you as a guest, and thanks again for being so generous with your time.
You are very welcome. It was a pleasure to be here, and thank you for having me.